Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are a couple of credentialed Clipper media people.
Yeah.
A couple of best friends.
Yeah, we made it.
We made it. Just bringing Clippers news 5 days a week. Yes. Couldn't be more pleased to do it.
Thanks for hanging out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Mm-hmm. In case you haven't checked it out, check out some other podcasts on the network.
If you got a team, you got a show, you know?
Yes, absolutely. You can check out the Sixers, see what they think about Doc coming in.
Yeah.
A bunch of crazy stuff going on over there. But anyways, back to Locked On Clippers news. We got a heck of a lot of stuff for you today. It's What You Say Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck puts out a little poll on Twitter. See what you folks think. This one is interesting. Basically, just wondering if the fans think we should try to move in to the first round or earlier in the second round in the draft.
Yeah, heated contention on election day of all days that we're recording this.
Very split decision.
Hope everyone's doing all right.
And then speaking of prospects, in segment two, we're going to look at another prospect Chuck's going to try to sell me on. We're talking about Jan Madar.
Yeah, he's my number one. The Clippers need to take this guy.
International player from the Israeli league.
Yeah, and this is from a listener, Nick Jacobs, who suggested it. So thanks for that, Nick.
Shout out Nick Jacobs. Yeah, if you guys have any prospects you'd like us to take a look at, go ahead and send those over at Locked On Clips. We'd love to know. And then in shavings, which is where we just kind of open up the kitchen drawer, see what's kind of kicking around league-wide, we're going to talk a little bit about the NBA Players Association vote on the upcoming season, as well as some questionable Terrence Mann artwork. Could you call it fan fiction artwork?
We'll talk about it. It's weird.
We're going to talk about it. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome to What You Say Wednesday, draft edition. There's been some scuttlebutt about the Clippers maybe moving up in the draft. There was an anonymous GM who was quoted saying that like draft picks are going to be for sale more this year because of the cap situation and stuff like that. It hasn't happened often. Last time it happened, the Jazz bought Rudy Gobert, basically.
Yes.
Which, hey, good call.
Yeah, pretty good investment. It was from the Nuggets, wasn't it?
Yeah, from the Nuggets.
Yeah, they have no use for Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, imagine that 4 and 5 of Jokic and Gobert, though. But anyway, so we asked Clippers Twitter, do you want the Clippers to try and move up into the late first or early second? Kept it rational. Don't think they're going to move up into like the mid first. You know what I mean? Or like pretty high. I don't know how much those are worth.
You know how much Bomber's worth?
70 bill. And with 299 votes, the results were split 51% yes, 49% no. People are torn.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do people have to say about it?
So Big Sacks on Twitter, three X's. Said, yes, want them to, but don't think first rounder will happen. Plus, it's not like they've hit it big with any draft picks of late. Under Doc, they just sit buried on the bench or in the G League, which is pretty much true.
Yeah, very fair point. I mean,
feels like the wrong guys are not in the G League. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to call, like, Terrence Mann, it's like, I'm always have said he needed more minutes in the G League.
Yes. No, I agree. Unless you count... I kind of think to a certain degree you have to count Landry Shamet as a draft pick for the Clippers.
I don't think they could have scouted him that well. I don't think they make that pick.
That's true.
Right?
You know what? That's fair.
But I think the point here is Lou was brought in to do this differently than what we have been doing.
Yes.
They talked about roster development. Like, apparently that was a thing Ballmer, you know, mentioned, like, the youth development. So I think Lou is kind of here to help it a little bit. Obviously not a bunch. Next season specifically.
Definitely. And I do think from a development standpoint, we are going to be looking at a different mentality. But it still comes down to the actual drafting. And
yeah,
I think that, the front office has, you know, it's had a hit. And it's had some misses.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we don't really know about. I mean, Mann seems like that was a good decision.
Yeah.
Fee, it's late enough to where you're like, yeah, I hope this works out. And then this 57th pick, it's like, oh, okay. Could be good, could be bad. People also said, at Afghan Stallion, another fantastic Twitter name, said yes, because they honestly can buy a late first this year because of financial reasons, and Ballmer has the money for it. How much, like, would this go for? Like, do we think we'd actually buy a late first round pick?
I mean, depends on the price, right? So the thing that keeps coming
up... And it's a
up,
contender selling it, theoretically, right?
Yeah.
Or a good team, I guess.
The thing that keeps coming to mind is if they hadn't already given up picks, I would say, how much would Tillman Fertitta put a late round pickup of the of the Rockets for sale for? I think
that's a good call.
I think you could definitely buy into that.
Guy needs the cash.
Yeah, so like we've talked about this. I think that they're obviously going to be the most viable this year, just due to so much uncertainty in the draft. Yeah. Aside from the cap space thing, I would think that it's a tough bet to bet on a prospect this year. And maybe
it's weird.
You know how much cash you're getting if you just make a cash.
Yeah, that's true. Like you're like, hey, we're getting this much back. Let's cut this deal.
But who knows? You know, because it's still like. It looks really bad on a front office if a pick is taken that ends up being
even moderately good.
Yeah, even like, even a rotation level player. I feel like.
Like you sold this for $250,000.
So my vote on this would be no.
Yeah, I think I go. If I had more faith in our scouting, I'd be like, yes, let's move up to like early second, get some weird.
Someone in around like that 31, 32.
Yeah, because also with this year, like because of the way scouting was, so many, like there's not as much groupthink, right? Like with scouting, when everyone has to do all this weird individual look at it.
That's a great call. Yeah.
So there's going to be, you'd think there's going to be some guys taken after like, because look, full disclosure, I don't know a lot about this upcoming draft, but it doesn't seem like there's like even five like super elite guys. So after that, it feels like things are kind of a team crapshoot, and I mean that in a good way, just because of how the research goes.
Definitely.
I just don't have faith in our research, I guess.
Well, and like the group thing that you bring up is important too, because not everybody has seen the same thing from these prospects, right?
Yeah.
Like there's definitely going to be people who have probably seen more of international prospects than they were able to see of some NCAA athletes this
That's
year.
That's a really good call.
So I think like what, you know, like depending on your level of scouting and like where you'd like to go,
yeah,
there's definitely going to be guys that you've had a more serious look at than maybe some higher touted prospects. And, you know, I don't know if that, you know, if you think that you can get somebody in the second round, if that makes you more willing to cough up a first
Move
rounder.
Up. Yeah.
Because, you know, an interesting thing is you could have a little bit of trade information in this one that nobody else on the table has.
Yeah, really good call. Just selling info, spy style.
But I think, I got to agree, like, to me, this is a no, just because, look, the front office has done a lot of great moves. I said on the podcast yesterday, I think that Lawrence Frank, you know, deserves, executive of the year. He's made great moves. The drafting, you know, other than the Shea pick, and, you know, granted, we haven't had enough development time to really make something of prospects yet.
Yeah.
But I'm still... I fail to see the fit, because even where, if we were to move into the first round, I guess I'm just still questioning if we're getting a player that's near enough, like, you know, not a complete project enough that we can actually...
Yeah, because the team loves projects.
Yeah, that we can actually find a role for them and either enhance, you know, what they already have versus being a, you know, a rebuild, essentially.
Yeah.
So I would still have to say no on terms of paying cash. Although it's Bomber's money, I mean, like, really, it could go either way or the other. But I just don't see us being able to really have the time to develop somebody.
Yeah, LGBT Baller on Twitter said, no, we are in win now mode. Which, like, I think makes sense. And, you know, we just have to have that player, the guy that they love or something like that. But we don't know anything about any of the prospects that the team loves, except for kind of the leaks we get. So... It's going to be interesting. I don't think they will. Apparently, in the Shea draft, they tried all they could to try and move up, but those things just weren't there. You know, just some fun information there. So
well, that was, I mean, that was a solid draft.
That was a crazy good draft, right? Yeah. And this one, there's so many question marks. You don't really know how workouts are going to go. Like, and it was a wonky-ass year of... I know enough about college basketball. I know that it was a wonky year of college basketball before COVID.
Yeah.
Like, everything was so kind of turned around before. But yeah, thanks to everyone for voting. And that poll, at Locked On Clips. Come follow, hang. Usually a good time over there.
Yeah, we do What You Say Wednesday every single Wednesday. Yes, love to know what you think. That poll goes out on Tuesday. Please vote. Let us know what you think. We'd love to know.
Yes. Coming up, we're going to be talking my new favorite prospect, Yam Madar. But first, got to give a shout-out to Built Bar. The new improved Built Bar is even deliciouser than before.
Wow.
Amazing. Comes in 18 fantastic flavors, including nut and non-nut, for those of you with allergies. The six new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. I am partial to the cookies and cream. Tastes sweet, you know. Built bars are healthy. It's great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. These bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber. Fantastic for the keto diet.
Yummy.
Peanut butter is good as well. Might get a free cooler with purchase for those of you who are trying to, you know, be chill. This is while supplies last, of course.
Is it a Yeti?
It's not a Yeti. It's even better than a Yeti. It's a Jetty. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all cap letters, one word, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, so now we're taking a look at a prospect. If you haven't been listening to the show recently or the past couple of days, we've been taking a look at a prospect basically per day.
Yeah, you know, people on Twitter will send them, which is great. Thanks to everyone who sends those into Locked On Clips. Like, there'll be ones just based on some mock drafts and stuff like that. With the 57th pick, you know, there's a lot
on the table.
There's a lot on the table for the 57th pick for sure.
All right, so this guy, Yamadar?
Yes, Yamadar. Got this suggestion, like we said, from Nick Jacobs on Twitter. And I am, for the 57th pick, for what we're looking at, for what a development, like, he's not, this pick is probably not coming up to the team.
Yes.
Like, this pick will stay in Agua Caliente. This kid's 19 years old, so he's got to be one of the youngest players in the draft. 6'3 point guard from Hapo Tel Aviv. Stats are kind of weird, but he's played really well. He had a strong performance in the U18 Euro Championships, Division B with the Israeli national team. And then in the U20 Euro Championships is when he kind of crushed. He averaged 16-3-7. He shot 43% on 3-3 attempts a game in this tourney. So, like, I mean, it looks like he knows what the hell he's doing.
Definitely, definitely. No, and, I mean, you sent me some highlights, and, like, the finishing is really interesting.
It makes... the kid can finish with both hands.
Yep.
Like, bank shots, insane turnaround, jumpers. Like, his mid-range and finishing is really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is the Israeli league. Not really sure how it compares to, say, top NCAA, but you are playing against grown men.
Yes, that is very true. That's very true. And I mean, like, with how young he is, that does give you a lot of confidence if he's able to maintain that, you know, at
physicality.
The level.
Yes. Yeah. After that U20 tournament, he got a bigger role at his club team in 32 games for Tel Aviv. He averaged 10, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, over 24 minutes a game. And he won the most improved player in the Israeli league as a teenager.
Wow.
So the kid has this resume where you're like, okay, like there's something here that could be built up.
Yes.
I think. Like,
and I mean, he's probably not getting any taller, but he could fill out and become... because I do think...
Developing frame is the phrase that was used on the NBA website.
Yeah. I do think to have success at the next level, he probably will have to be prepared for a lot more contact.
Yes.
From a physicality standpoint, because the finishing is great.
He doesn't shy away from it right now, which is great.
He doesn't shy away from it, but he does have, like, you know, he has like a lot.
He's skinny.
Yeah, he's skinny, but he does have solid lateral movement. Like, he does find ways to get around guys. But, you know, just being a consistent scorer is all about getting in the line at the next level.
For sure.
So he's got to be able to finish through the contact and be willing to, you know, not shy away from the contact.
Yeah. His biggest plus is his court vision. Is another reason why I really like Yam. Like, every single scouting report is just like he makes like entertaining passes. He knows when guys are moving off ball. Like, the kid can see the floor really well. His free throw percentage has never dipped below 73%. And then the stats event. So, like, you know, the stroke is definitely there.
Ish,
for sure. Fair. Got a really good hesitation game. He says he really likes to watch Damian Lillard and Steph Curry. And, like, you can
tell. And it does show. it definitely does show.
His hesitations are crazy. I don't know. He's a pretty good defender. In 21 games in the Israeli league last season, he contested the perimeter, limiting his opponents to 23-69 from long distance, which is pretty good. He could be a good man-on-man defender with quickness. kind of a good guy. Maybe if somehow he gets called up and hangs out on the bench to learn from Patrick Beverley or something like that.
Definitely.
He never backs down either. He bodies up guys who are bigger than him. That was a highlight in his defensive highlights that I watched. And if you're not paying attention at the top of the key and you're just dribbling with the ball and you're someone else's man, he will just come take the ball from you.
Yeah.
Like, the dude's got really active hands. And just to also sell you specifically on him, he's got a 4.5-to-1 assist to turnover ratio.
Whoa,
that's some good numbers right there.
Now you're talking.
I just think, like, dude, 57th pick. So he's also on Tankathon. He's ranked as the 57th prospect, and they have him mocked at 56. So, like, maybe we move up to 54.
And they got Charlotte going. Maybe we'd make another deal with Charlotte. There you go. Worked out well for us before.
But I think he's the perfect player for, put him in the G League. Since there's going to be a new vision on the G League because Doc is out and the Agua Caliente Clippers are getting a new coach.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he was bad, but just in terms of development, things might be different.
Yeah.
This guy makes so much sense. He's a point guard who has vision, who's played professional basketball. He knows how to practice like a pro. He knows how to, you know, prepare like a pro with the numbers that he has. He's young, but it seems like he really understands, like, the preparation of the game just based on his style of play in the pros.
He's used to the grind, and he's used to people already being, like, a lot more developed than him physically.
Yes. So I think it's the perfect pick at 57, dude. It'd be so sweet.
I gotta say, if you get a chance, definitely look up some Yamandar highlights.
Yeah.
They're definitely fun to watch. Bad haircut, which is another knock still.
So this I chalk up to being a teen.
Yeah.
You know?
Young guy. You know what? He's 19. I'll maybe let it slide.
Yeah, he's 19. Yeah, and, like, you know, the physicality of the G League would really help him out. You play against, like, you know, like, guys like Angel Delgado have 20 and 20 games in the G League. So you play against guys who are kind of, like, goofy shapes for their position. No disrespect to Angel Delgado, but he's not exactly a towering dude.
Yeah,
who could get 20 boards. And, like, yeah, I don't know, man. This, the 57th pick is not a who cares pick, because that's a little disrespectful to the people who get picked at 57th.
Absolutely.
But in terms of, like, next year with the Clippers, where they're at, how much time is the 57th pick going to get? Like, with the team. It's inconsequential.
Yeah, with the main roster, yeah. Nah, yeah. I mean, not much at all. But I like the fact of Jan being so young. Definitely, like, a year in the G League, you could get a good feel.
He'll be 21. Like,
yeah, we haven't really been able to have players make the transition successfully yet, but I mean, yeah. Hey, like, you know, there's always time to change. There's always, like,
yeah,
and I think as a league itself, I do think that the G League is getting better. I do that the NBA is, you know, trying to make it a more attractive option for prospects and a more attractive option to kind of develop talent. And you know, certainly other teams have had success with it. So I like this. I like this pick. I don't know why I've been so in on the guards, really. But this guy is definitely the most electrifying scorer of the bunch.
Yeah.
Small dude frame wise, but, like, the way he uses his body and kind of the speed and everything is fun to watch.
Yeah. There'd be some great G League highlights. Him throwing oops to Motley or whatever.
I also feel like the fact that he played international, like, maybe him and Pat Bev would get along. Like, I don't know.
Oh, good
I'm
call.
I'm just thinking that in my head.
I like that. That's a good connection.
But yeah, I think that at 57, I mean, I think at 57, like, you know, you're looking at a project, obviously.
Yeah.
Someone who's not going to crack the rotation on a championship roster.
For sure.
More likely than not.
Unless Yam does.
I wish we still had Milos on the team.
I know, man. I was tweeting about Milos earlier from the account. But yeah, no, it'd be this. I'm all in on this. If the Clippers don't take this guy, I'll be disappointed. And
but you'll understand.
I won't.
I won't
understand at all.
You won't follow the team.
No, I would buy... There's a chance that I would buy this kid's jersey if he got drafted by the Clippers.
I love it. I love your commitment.
It'd just be insane. Yeah, I'm all in. Shout out to Nick Jacobs. Hope he's as in on the yam tram as I am. Coming up in Shavings, where we just kind of break down just everything going on. We're talking Players Association vote and then a questionable piece of Terrence Mann art mentioned earlier.
All right, so... Per Shams, the Players Association is going to vote as soon as Thursday on the NBA 72-game season, which would start on December 22nd.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, right?
$1 billion is $1 billion.
Yeah. I mean, $1 billion is essentially lost if they delay until, you know, the January start that the Players Association wants.
Yeah.
Apparently, most players are of the belief that the Christmas week start is kind of inevitable, which I've talked about since the end of the bubble. Like, realistically, Christmas is one of the biggest days for the NBA.
Yeah. People on Twitter say, they're like, it's not Christmas without the NBA.
Yeah. There's no, I truly do not see a scenario in which the NBA would be willing to let that amount of revenue go.
Which does kind of suck, because I was thinking about
it. I don't think that it's right, but yeah. I think that's what they're going to do.
For sure. It's just like, man, they were in the bubble for so long, now they got to be away from their family for Christmas. It's just this whole, like, goddamn.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Not the shitty teams, though. Only good teams play on Christmas.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, the back-to-back situation is going to be interesting to monitor for the 72-game schedule as well. Hopefully the Clippers don't have any of those. Hopefully none of those exist, but they probably still will, right?
Yeah.
Also reported that the play-in tourney is probably going to happen, which is cool. The 7, 8, 9, and 10 seeds would play for the final two spots in each conference. The 9 and 10 teams would have to win twice without losing to snag one of the 7 or 8 spots. Which seems like a disaster going forward for either of those, for one of those teams if they made it.
Yeah. I mean, I love the idea. Like, I thought that the play-in tournament in the bubble was interesting.
Yeah.
I still think
it was pretty flawed.
It was flawed. It would have been more interesting if Phoenix would have had a chance. But, whatever. My thing is after 4 or 5, I think seeding gets a little erroneous. Right?
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
To a certain extent, right?
Yeah. But if it goes all the way to 10,
yeah,
that, like, obviously I don't want to be 7 or 8.
Of course not.
So it's really 6 is the only one that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then, like, 7, so it, if you're 7, you're like, ah, shit.
No, I agree. Like, it definitely does get a little bit tighter for those other teams. And I mean, I think it's interesting, but yeah, it definitely does hurt those teams that are kind of like, I don't know, I feel like a Memphis or like a team that's kind of on the rise.
Yes.
I think the Pelicans will be right around this range, and like they could get eliminated by a lower seeded team. I think that you have something to worry about. But I think that it's nice that it gives more teams something to play for during the regular season, because that's what the NBA is.
And it's a revenue thing too.
Yes,
it's and more revenue, like, more that's games, what
the,
more money.
That's what the organization is trying to figure out, right?
Yeah,
is how to make games matter across an originally 82 game season, now probably a 72 game season. And the thing is like you got to give more cracks at the playoffs, essentially.
For sure. Well, this is also why when they go back to normal, is I want the midseason cup.
Yes,
I want the midseason. It'd be so sweet.
But you got to give some sort of incentive once again.
Free PS5s or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I think
make it
like,
fun.
A second round draft RVs. Pick. Second round draft pick.
It can't be organizational. It has to be player. It can't be organizational because they'd be like, I might not be on this team next year.
Oh, good call.
Right? Like it's like how like in baseball, whoever wins the All-Star game used to get like home field advantage for the World Series. And it's like, why the hell would I care if I don't have league pride?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like, oh yeah? Well, I put in the National League, which won 6 of them. You're like, dude, who cares? Like,
no one cares.
But you weren't on any of those teams. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's got to be like a cash prize or something like that, or food coupons.
Free donuts?
Free donuts would be tight. That's a good call. Yeah, free. You know how I am about regional foods and basketball transactions. Need to be used more.
Absolutely.
Also, things are going to get way more fun at basketball games because the owners need money. The NBA is searching for ways to increase cash flow into teams, and sources said the league is hopeful to expand guidelines on sports betting, hard alcohol, and casinos that could generate between $80 and $100 million in revenue. First of all, I think those revenue projections are laughably low.
I agree.
I think these revenue projections are like half of what it would be.
Yeah, so I'm all in on the casinos and hard alcohol. I think the NBA being involved...
Hard alcohol is a little interesting, but yeah.
Hey, what's
How
the problem?
Hard do they need? Isn't there booze at every arena?
Yes.
What's harder than what they have now?
Cheaper. They're gonna make it cheaper.
They just have they have the plastic fishbowl full don't of the Falcons full of $1.50.
Don't the Falcons have like legacy pricing? Where you yeah, they a have beer cheap beers. For like $3 yeah. bucks or whatever.
But I don't know about hard alcohol.
Yeah, it's a dollar.
They got the plastic fishbowl full of little shot.
Charles and I used to go to a place in college that had dollar well nights, so you could get
two doubles, pay a five. It's good tip. No, I think this would make things a lot rowdier.
Yes, definitely. So I guess
especially coming after COVID, like everyone's all pent up, trying to like go insane.
That's definitely a dangerous thing to consider as well. I guess the thing, what I was going to say was like the sports betting thing. I feel like it's a slippery slope with the NBA being involved. They're already trying to sell betting houses like some of their statistical data and stuff like that as far as like handicapping odds.
Yeah.
And that feels weird to me. I gotta be honest. It feels weird to me.
Well, gambling already controls the sport, right? No, I'm just kidding. I don't actually believe that. but it is weird for the league to be so into it. But, you know, there's soccer teams that have jerseys that are betting things. Like, it's weird now. We just got to accept that it's rigged.
No, betting is fine.
Okay.
Like, I just don't want the NBA to be a controlling body in any sort of sports betting.
See, so that's what I'm saying. We just have to deal with that because the league's not going to not get betting revenue, which sucks. Because yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
Like Bovada or whatever, all fine. Like if you could place Bovada bets at the stadium in cash or with your card.
Yeah, but you're like betting with your Clips card. Yeah. Like fill it up with game tokens. You're like, this is thousands of dollars.
Why not just, skee ball? Bring in some skee ball.
So you want carnival games where you win money.
Yeah.
I'm actually all for that. Like a Dave and Buster's, but you get money instead of tickets.
Yeah, and you're at the game.
You know what? We're on to something. All right, let's move on to some real important news.
Axe throwing?
Plus the hard alcohol? That seems like a good call. So Terrence Mann posted on Instagram a new painting he has above his fireplace, which I don't know if this was his Los Angeles residence, maybe back home in Florida, where he went to school. You don't need a fireplace in Los Angeles.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
You do
that's
like
for another. That's for
it's
another
only
day.
A month out of the year, but a lot of houses have fireplaces, and it's actually really nice.
All right, let's see if you like. See if it still sounds nice after I tell you what the painting above it is, which depicts Kobe giving Terrence a high five on court in their respective uniforms.
He needs some kindling for the fireplace.
Oof! Wow! Ouch! So here's the thing. This is an absolutely. I don't know if unhinged is the right word. This painting kind of, I was like, what? Like when I saw it on his Instagram. This is kind of a crazy painting, but if I was a 24-year-old with millions of dollars, I would probably have a painting of like me giving, Dale Earnhardt a high five or some dumb thing like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair.
It's just kind of weird, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's definitely weird, but... Yeah, if you're a millionaire, 20-something-year-old, you definitely have some bad pop art in your house.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's not like a hyper realistic portrait. I should be clear with that.
Yeah, yeah. So
that would be insane.
I feel like this falls under that umbrella.
But in the living room.
Well, is the fireplace in the living room?
I would assume, unless he has bedroom fireplace. Know? In which case, look, if he's got this painting up in his bedroom. Way to go, Terrence.
Maybe it's more of the living room, it's more of a sitting room, and people really kind of hang out more in the home theater area.
After they take a glance at the painting, they're like, oh, what else you got? what insane painting would you want?
Insane painting I would want?
You and an athlete specifically.
Oh, it has to be me and an athlete? Maybe John Elway throwing me like a football?
That's a good one. That's a really good one. Yeah, I think incorporating yourself into the equipment is funny. Just painting yourself into iconic sports scenes would also be funny too.
Yeah, maybe me holding my arms out in a circle like a basket, and Blake just throwing down into the circle.
Just
that is
having
my
a
arms.
Good time. That's a good call.
And I'm also taller than him in the picture.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, mine is me giving Dale Earnhardt a high five. I don't even really like NASCAR, but that'd be a good looking painting.
Not Earnhardt Jr.
No. The real Intimidator. Also, we have to give a shout out to the possibility that Kawhi... So Kawhi has this fantastic picture that he tweeted when he used to tweet about hoverboards. It's of him... It's a deep-fried pic of him handing Obama a signed basketball after the Spurs won meeting at the White House. What are the odds he has that framed in his house somewhere?
Oh, God, I hope it's high.
It's definitely high.
I hope it's high.
It's got to be somewhere. So shout out, yeah, the Clippers keeping the legacy of odd art. Kawhi's is a lot better because at least his happened in real life and it's of a photograph.
Yeah.
But, you know, shout out to Terrence for doing his thing. I think about wraps it up, right?
Yes, that does it. We got to get out of here. We actually got some pizza delivered for election night, so hope everybody's doing all right.
Yes. We're making it through, you know? We're all doing our best.
If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show.
Yes, please.
You can
do.
Check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can actually tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. That's always a fun time.
It's a really fun time. Smart speakers love us.
If you haven't already, please subscribe. Leave a rating or review if you feel so inclined. We'd love to know what you think of the show. And yeah, just keep rocking with us. Like I said, we love covering this team. Bring it to you 5 days a week.
Yeah, and, you know, 6 or 7 if crazy stuff happens. Thursday's episode, Thirsty Thursday, with White Wanna Steve and Pat Bev next season. We're talking more Yam. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe some assistant coach talk. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.